I think it's entirely appropriate how the Lord operated this morning. Who am I to judge the Lord on how he chooses to move? Amen. But I don't intend on preaching long. Now, I'm aware that when I say that, I'm placing liability on myself, because then if I preach long, you can get mad at me, I guess. But I really don't feel like, in fact, I gave four passages of scripture to Brother Josh. That's increased from the two that I mentioned to Sister Regan this morning. But if you have your Bibles, why don't you stand with me together? Proverbs chapter 1, and we'll read verses 8 and 9. And then we'll skip to Proverbs chapter 6 and read verse 20. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. If you have it, say amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father." And every young person says, "Oh me." "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Verse 9, "For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck." Verse 20 of Proverbs chapter 6, the wise man reiterates this command almost verbatim. I think there's one word that is different between the two. There's a few. Verse 20, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 says, "My son, keep thy father's command and forsake not the law of thy mother." Forsake not the law of thy mother. I want to preach or teach or talk or however this comes out on this subject: the law of my mother. The law of my mother. Let's lay down our Bibles and let's ask the Lord to speak to each of us. Can you open your heart to the Lord? Can you ask him to speak to you this morning? Thank you, Jesus, for your presence. It's already evident in this house. Pray, Lord, that you would continue to move in the remaining portion of this service. I ask for your anointing, God, upon every word, upon everything that I say. Lord, I don't want to just speak, but I want to speak words, God, that have direct impact. I want your word to find its mark in every heart and every mind today, to every soul, to every heart that's in this place, I pray. Give us ears to hear your word in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. Amen. You could be seated this morning. It is Mother's Day. And I began to allude a little bit to some of these things. I'm going to spend a little bit more time. I don't know how much longer. Depends on how, rambunctious I get. But every one of you, if you had the privilege of spending your early days with a mother, grew up in a home where your mother was a constant presence in your home, then no doubt she had unique rules that were specific to her. And same is true for me. And when you, it's observable almost. If you go from one house to the next house, you can almost tell the personality of that mother, based on how that house is ordered, how it's conducted, how the behavior of those children, all of that, because of the rules that that mother puts into place. I'm calling them laws, the laws of mother. Some mothers do not have any. And that in and of itself is a law. It's a rule. The rule is there are no rules. And that's evident when it happens. But that's not the case at my home. At our house, when I grew up, Bishop, if mom was in the kitchen mopping the floor, you do not set foot in that kitchen. You can go anywhere else in the house. But if you want to get something out of the kitchen, you have to wait until the floor dries. Or there were occasions where I decided I needed something out of the kitchen while the floor was still wet. And I found out the hard way that she really meant what she said. And we'd get in trouble. I'd get in trouble. So then I'd find other ways into the kitchen, like over the counter, hanging on the cabinets, doing whatever we needed to do to get, because the snack cabinet was just on the other side of the, right there. So if you could get onto that counter and open those cabinets, you can reach up in there and get whatever you needed. And I wasn't on the floor. But I'd realized that the rule was there, and I should not disobey that rule. The consequences were there. I remember when I would get whippings, and yes, I thank God that my mother gave me whippings because I needed them. Me and my wife have had arguments about how we're going to discipline our children. And maybe that's why the Lord is waiting on us to settle this one before he gives us any children. But I'm an advocate for the reasons, because I know how hard of a head that I had. And so I know that likely I'm going to have children with the same hard head. But there was even a rule about the way that we would get our whippings. First of all, on occasion, we'd use a belt. But if Mom really wanted to drive the point home, she'd say, "Jared, go outside and get a switch." And so I'd go out in this front yard out here in front of Mom and Dad's house, and that was the only tree that I was authorized to get switches off of, because that was a live tree. And she would, when I went back in there with the stick the first couple of times, and they were dead branches or dead switches, they would just break at the first swing, and then she'd have to go get the switch. So I remember very distinctly getting switches. I'd come back in from the front yard, and she would check. She'd take a knife and check that and peel it back, and if it was green, it was good to go. Green is good for her, not for me. And then I heard stories of some of my friends. They would figure out ways to, it wasn't, and I'm like, man, why didn't I think of this stuff? My ingenuity stopped with the switches. But these guys, they would have like newspapers, they would have all kinds of other materials between them and that switch and their hide. And they would produce a means to prevent the pain, but I never, I guess I just suffered the consequences. But there are house rules. I don't know how many of you go and play board games at friends' houses, and everybody plays Uno differently. Actually, Uno is generally, I mean, there are some differences there, but more often than not, Monopoly is the one that everybody makes up their own rules. I've played Monopoly at 4 or 5 different houses, and every time I think the rules are different. But they call those house rules. You know, your mom establishes these house rules. Doesn't matter if she's perfect. Doesn't matter what her background is. Doesn't matter where she came from. She's still mama. And you today, me in my own house, when my wife is mopping the floor, she's like, "Jared, I don't care if you walk in here. Just take your shoes off or take off your socks or whatever." And I'm like, absolutely not. I cannot do it. No matter if I've received authorization from the one that is cleaning the floor, I just can't do it. I can't get it out of my head. This is a law that has been established by mama. A law from our mother. And since I've gotten married, some new rules have entered into the home. And so I've got, and I don't know if I can keep track of all these rules, but I don't understand. I'm going to stop here long enough, and I hope I'll get some moms on board with me with this next statement. But I don't understand seeing and watching a 9-year-old outright disobey or counteract something that mama just commanded them to do. I don't get that. Those two dots do not connect for me. I don't understand that. I remember when Mom said, "Do such and such," it was as good as gold. It was gospel. It was as if I just read it out of the Ten Commandments. You do this, otherwise Either I'm going to take care of it, or when Dad gets home, he's going to take care of this. And but I too often when I've seen mothers that have established a household, and the rule is there is no rule. My last time getting a whipping was 17 years old. I was 17. Don't tell me, and maybe I've gone from preaching a nice little Mother's Day message to preach it, to meddling, I guess. I don't know, but I'm too young and dumb to know not to say this. But mommy and daddy, if they're still in your home, you still have the right and the God-given authority to direct that child. In fact, not only do you have the right or the authority, you have the obligation. God expects for you to rule your house according to His word. They have the choice at some point in their life. If they can come up with the means to care for themselves, then they can establish their own rules. But until then, if they're at mama's house, they follow mama's rules. All right? Is that okay? Is it okay to say, Bishop, is that okay to say on Mother's Day? All right, good. I appreciate it. It doesn't matter what you say. I've got Bishop's backing here. I'm just kidding. I don't understand the 9-year-olds. I don't understand the 16-year-olds. I don't understand kids that do not obey and do not respect their mother. And we can see it in our generation, this rule of no rules having defined a series of generations, really from probably the 1960s, where there was this movement. I've heard Bishop talk about this, the movement of anti-authority. And now we have those same people who are grandmas and grandpas who produced multiple generations of individuals who reject or refute any form of authority in their life. And this world is the result of that. Generations have been loosed from an early age to govern themselves. That's why we have a problem with transgenderism. That's why. Because moms and dads are saying, well, little Billy or Bobby or Buffy or whatever kind of name you're going to come up with to describe that type of a lifestyle, they can choose for themselves. And who am I to say that they're wrong? I'll tell you who you are. You're the mother. You're the father. You have the God-given obligation and expectation, the command from God to rule your house. And children, you have the God-given command and obligation to obey the laws that are set by mother and father. Amen. And I kind of alluded to this a little bit, but do you know why mom can establish such strict rules? And they're so unique. I mean, every kid has this same quandary. I'm convinced of it, that nobody has it like I do at home. Every kid grows up and says, nobody understands. My parents are weird. My parents are backward. My parents have this problem or that problem. And that child is sitting there from their limited vantage point comparing this mother or this father with the range of other fathers and mothers they come in contact with. And they think that they're so unique and they're so weird based on that analysis. But the reason moms and dads can establish such strong guidelines and directions is because of their love for you as a child. And I believe the same is true in the Pentecostal church. You know what? I told you I was not going to preach very long. So I'm getting ready to close, believe it or not. But in the New Testament church, in Jerusalem, we saw a new mother come around. Jesus Christ established the New Testament church as our mother, Mount Zion. it, for the children of Israel, it was Zion. It was the reference to the old covenant. But this new covenant governs our relationship with our Father. And the house rules are still the same that were established all the way back at Mama's house in Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, the Bible tells us, then Peter said unto them, repent. Repentance is still a house rule at Mama's house. We still must repent. We still must change our life and walk away from this old lifestyle. Amen. It doesn't matter. Amen. Where you live, Mama's rules are Mama's rules. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then he goes on to say, not just repentance, but you also must be baptized in Jesus' name, every one of you in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sins. These are Mama's rules. These are house rules for the truth church. If you want to have a relationship with your heavenly Father, if you want to have a genuine, eternal walk with your Father, friend, you've got to repent and you've got to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And then ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And if you read the pages before that at Mama's house, when they first received the Holy Ghost, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. If it happened then, it can still happen today. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Sister Tori, start thumbing. But I want you to notice the care, the mindset, the heartbeat of a mother in this chapter, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. She gets up and she lays out the guidelines. She gets up and lays out the rules, repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in other tongues as evidenced in earlier part of Acts chapter 2. But then look what she says in verse 39. That would be the next verse, Brother Josh. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I can't tell you how many times I've had to sit in our living room and listen to the lecture of my mother. Tell me time after time after time after time. And 90% of the time, Brother Brandon, it was my fault. I'm the reason that I was sitting in that chair and getting the lecture. And I deserved it. But at the end of every conversation, at the end of every whipping, amen, that mother, that spirit of mother came upon my mom. And she came and said, Jared, I want you to know I love you. This is not because I just want to be hard. This is not because I just want to beat you. This is not because I just want this. No, no, no. She said, this is a promise to you. If you live your life in such a way, Sister Tori, you could come. If you can walk with God in this particular way, then I'm telling you, this promise is not just to you, Jared, but it's to your children, to my grandbabies, and then to all that are afar off. Church, you've got to know, amen, that the rules at Mama's house are not changing, but they are not just rules for the sake of rules, but they are a promise. They're a promise to you and then to your children and to all that are far off. Hallelujah. I am so thankful for the laws of my mother. Hallelujah. His commandments are not grievous. No, it's because I love him. It's because I want to walk with him. It's because I want to talk with him. Amen. Another rule, and this is the last one. I'll be closing. If we all stand together, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. It is still separation from the world and separation unto our heavenly Father. Not separation for separation's sake, but separation so we can be closer to the one who died for us.
separation so we can love him and walk with him and be alone with him. Amen. Without any distraction, without any appeal from this world. Amen. That I'm telling you, this the drawing that you feel as a teenager when you enter into this world, you start looking around and you see, oh, how weird mama is. Oh, how weird our household is. Amen. Those dynamics begin to play on your mind. Amen. I want you to understand the same thing is true on a Monday morning after a Sunday night service where the Holy Ghost is falling. Amen. You open your eyes on Monday morning and you see the co-workers, or you see, amen, the friends that are having such a good time, and we think, oh, mama's so weird. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This background, this experience is so different. That might be your assessment. And I'm not going to call you a crazy person, but these promises have a purpose. These guidelines, these goals, these laws of your mother are not there just to cause you to have a different kind of a lifestyle so you could demonstrate, oh, look how beautiful these frilly dresses are. Look how amazing our suits and ties are. Look how great my haircut is. No. The purpose, mama has a purpose for every guideline, for every rule, for every law, if you will. And all the moms can say amen, right? You don't just put the rules out there. Your baby may not understand them. They may need some explanation. But you don't just put the rule out there just to be yelling at your kid. And the same thing is true in the kingdom of God. The rules, the guidelines. There are people from the outside, they look at us and they say, oh, you guys are just a legalistic cult. No. You know what we want? We want an eternal relationship with our Father. These are promises to us. These are promises. As you draw closer, with every head bowed and every eye closed, as you draw closer to your Father, mama's going to be there and say, hey, son, did you see? Did you see what daddy did for you today? Hey, daughter, do you feel his loving arms around you? That's what mama does. She reminds you of the promises of God. She reminds you that the rules there are not just there to command you and to direct you, but they have a destination. They have a purpose. So that you don't have a life that is mixed up with all kinds of turmoil and debauchery and hatred and friends that call themselves friends, but they're not really friends. That's what the rules are there. And so mommy's here, amen, to say, hey, don't you realize the real love that comes? Why don't we lift our hands to the Lord together? Amen. Hallelujah. Mama, there's just some things I won't do now because they're in my life. They're a pattern that was placed there by you. And I'm thankful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope, amen, that is the truth for each and every one of you. Amen. There's just some things that I won't do because I learned it at mama's house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want us to talk to the Lord just for a few moments. God, I pray that you would give understanding. I pray, Lord, that your will and your way, Lord, would be shown to each of us. We love you, Savior. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus.
To be,
oh,
like
Jesus. I'm thankful for my church family. Thankful for the love that I feel in this place. God, I'm thankful, Lord, for my brothers, for my sisters. Lord, we together, we endeavor for your will and your purpose to be accomplished. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way, Jesus. Show me your way.